Let me just say a few more things about concepts as we finish off this session. Firstly, I think it's important, if we want to communicate well using a concept, then two things are going to help us. We need to practice and we need to keep praying about it. We need to pray that God would help us. There are some people who find this quite easy to find a concept, and other people find it difficult. It's partly a practice thing. I find it much easier now than I used to, but I still have sermons where I get completely stuck. One of the sermons in the Mark series in Austria that we did in the church I was in, I still remember the passage. This is probably 15 years ago, and it was Mark 7, kind of 35 to 8:10. It was the healing of the... Well, it doesn't matter, but it was a passage in Mark. And I'd started studying it on the Monday, just spent an hour, and during the week I was studying and praying and studying and praying, and I felt that I knew what it was about, and it was speaking to me, it was burning. But I could not find a concept. And it got to Thursday, and I still didn't have a concept. It got to Friday, and I still didn't have a concept. And shortly after that, it got to Saturday, and I still didn't have a concept. And then it was Saturday evening, and this was, you know, skin of the teeth panic stuff. And I was praying and saying, Lord, please help me, because I want to be clear. And I even thought on the Saturday evening, maybe I'll just ring one of the church leaders and say, I'm not feeling very well, I can't come tomorrow. And then I thought, Andrew, you're a Christian, you can't do that, that's lying. So I started praying again and saying, Lord, please help me. And then I found a concept that was so simple, I thought, this is embarrassing. Embarrassingly simple. But I didn't have anything else, so I said to the Lord, well, if you haven't given me anything else, I'm going to preach this tomorrow, this embarrassingly simple concept. And I preached my heart out the next day. And after the sermon, a young couple came forward with a guitar, and they had been reading the passage that week as well, and they had written a song based on this passage, and it was almost exactly fitting the concept. And it was a real sense the Lord was there speaking into our lives in that service. But sometimes I get completely stuck. I said after the first step, that the first step is the most important, studying the passage. The second step sometimes takes the longest for me. Because I sometimes can't find a concept that really grips me, and it takes time. So I pray, and I sometimes pray about it just before I go to bed, and I pray that I will maybe wake up in the morning with a perfect concept, and it can happen and sometimes doesn't, but you know, it needs prayer and it needs practice. Let me tell you about someone called Alan, who was an English schoolboy in a boarding school. I mean, a school where they sleep as well, not during the day but at night. Yeah, and he was in this boarding school, one of these expensive posh boarding schools, and he was a Christian, and he was, I think, 14. And he knew of a few other boys who were Christians. And he said to them, would you like to meet together for 10 minutes every morning before school? And we could just read the Bible passage from Scripture Union, and one of us could just say 2 minutes about it, and then we could pray and then go into the school day. That was in the days when Scripture Union gave you the passage but didn't give you any notes about it. And the others said, yeah, we'll try this. So Alan said, right, we'll do 1 week, and I'll prepare the first week. And every day he just read out the Bible passage and then spoke for about 1 minute or 2 minutes, and basically just said a concept. I mean, there wasn't much time to say more. Okay, but he had a kind of concept with headings. And he did this every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And they prayed, and then they went to the school day. At the end of the week, he said to them, the others, do you want to meet next week as well? And they said, oh yes, this is really helping us. So he said, who is going to prepare and lead next week? So he said, well, I'll do it. I'll do a second week. And he did it the next week as well. And he read the Bible passage and did a concept and hardly had time to say anything else. But he said his headings. And then they prayed. And at the end of the second week, he said, you want to carry on meeting? And they said, yes, this is really helping. So he said, who's going to lead next week? And this is where he made his mistake. He should, of course, have said, well, why don't you and I do it together next week? We'll do it together. But instead of that, he said, oh, well, I'll do it. And he did it for 5 years. Now, that was a mistake to do it for 5 years, but this guy, Alan, became one of the most used preachers by God in England in his generation. And he was known for his clarity, because people understood the Word of God. And it's a great thing to understand the Word of God. You remember that, you know, hearing the Bible taught or reading it yourself, and suddenly you begin to understand. And your heart starts like the disciples after Emmaus, on the road to Emmaus. Their hearts were burning. Well, that's so exciting. And this guy, Alan, learnt it by doing this for 5 years in a private school in England. Now, the application of this is not that you join a boarding school in an English school, but to encourage you and me to practice. I often do this naturally now in my own Bible study, in my own quiet time. Even when I'm not preparing to preach this at all, it is natural for me to begin to see how does the thing fit together, and I'm talking to the Lord about it the whole time. It's not just a head thing for me. I am talking to the Lord about this and seeing how the thing fits together. So I want to encourage us, because I think it really does help in communication. Somebody said to me in the break that the Bible school he was at, people said, some professors were saying, this is a very old-fashioned way of preaching, having headings like this. It may be old-fashioned. I think it's good communication. If you don't have a concept, I think you have to be very, very, very gifted to hold people for maybe 30 minutes. And most of us are kind of not very, very gifted, and we need something that we can hold on to. And I think most listeners need something they can hold on to. You see, when you're reading, you can read something again, or you can read some bits more slowly. But when you're listening, you can't listen again or listen to some bits more slowly. You have to just keep listening or switch off. And I think a concept can help people to keep listening and hearing what God is saying. And the last thing to say is just a reminder. When I have a concept, I don't say it all at the beginning. I normally will say how many points I've got, and it might be 2 or 3 or 4, but I won't say what the headings are at the beginning. I will say them, I will build that up during the sermon. Wow, thank you. We've got to 5:25. Are there any questions, comments about this? Otherwise we will stop now. But we're due to stop at 5:30, and then the evening meal is at 6. Anything to ask, say, comment on? Yes?
I was told that you knew John Stott. So, is it true?
I don't think I know him very well, but I do know him.
Was he kind of teacher for you any time?
Yes, but I mean, I remember hearing him first preach in 1972 and being amazed. I remember hearing him preach and thinking that I was meeting God in the Bible as this guy preached. And I remember thinking, I thought it a lot listening to John Stott, what I said earlier. This is not clever, it's all in the text, but why have I never seen it so clearly before? And I suppose I've learned most from him in reading his expositions. So there's a series in English called The Bible Speaks Today, which has quite a lot of books by him in the New Testament part of that. And I think many of those are just wonderful examples of clearly teaching the truth. I mean, he says himself that he has weaknesses as a preacher, and I'll mention something he says about himself tomorrow morning, where he thinks he's weak. But I think he's incredibly clear. And one of the things that he's very clear with is having a concept. It's always there. Sometimes when I hear him preach at the end of his sermon, when he's sort of just finishing the sermon, he mentions the concept again, and then very often mentions another concept. And I don't know if he's doing it deliberately, but I think what's happening there, I've never asked him, but I think what's happening there, he had two concepts that he thought were really exciting, knew he had to choose one, preached it, but at the end he really still loves the other one too. So he kind of has to bring it in. Now that may be a wrong understanding on my part, but that's, and I understand that, because there are sometimes concepts that you can't use, but you really would have loved to have used it, because it's really nice. But I think I've learned probably more from John Stott about Bible teaching than from anyone else, humanly speaking. Yeah. Any other? Okay, thank you very much for working so hard on this. Can I pray? And then Yoel is going to say some notices, I think. Our Father, we thank you for giving us energy this afternoon. And we thank you again for your word. We thank you that it's alive. And we thank you for the times we can remember when your word was so alive to us, when we knew that you were speaking to us. Lord, we praise you. And we want to pray that more and more in our own lives and in the lives of our church, in the life of our church, that Bible teaching and Bible reading would be a supernatural event. Father, we want to pray that it wouldn't just be information for the mind, but you would be touching our hearts and our lives and so changing our world. Lord, we want to pray that you'd pour out your Holy Spirit and that you'd use your word to transform individuals' lives and transform churches and to transform our society. And Lord, we pray that you'd help each of us to be open to how you want to teach us to grow as Bible teachers. Lord, all of us want that. We want to teach in such a way that people meet you. Lord, that's such a big prayer. But we thank you that you want that much more than we do. And we pray that you would answer this prayer for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.